So the Mishnah introduced the Isser of Yichud. The Mishnah on Pei Amidei introduced the Isser of Yichud. As the Gemara pointed out, Isser Yichud Daraisa is a one-on-one situation. Ish Echad, the Isha Achas. That's Beseser, as the Torah describes the Chumash Devar. And that is potentially Isser Daraisa. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, sometimes even three is a crowd. So as the Gemara says, three is no longer Daraisa, but sometimes three can be Isser Yichud Midrabana. And he said that sometimes yes, sometimes not. Sometimes the addition of a second man to the situation will solve your Yichud problem. Reuven and Leah, that's an Isser Yichud. Reuven, Shimon and Leah. So Shimon serves as a shomer vis-a-vis Reuven and Leah, and obviously Reuven serves as a shomer vis-a-vis Shimon and Leah. That's what the Mishnah says, Shnei Anoshim, the Isha Achas, is not only Mutter Min HaTorah, but even Mutter Midrabana. And over the course of the Gemara, the bottom of the panel day, it's the top of the Alpha and Aleph, the Gemara introduced a couple of restrictions on that. Number one, adding a second man to the situation, he will only serve as a shomer if he is an Adam Kasha. Adding any number of Prutzim will not help. Moreover, the Gemara said that there are situations where one shomer is not enough, you need two shomer. And that's Badarach, and you're out in the wilderness, where there's a likelihood that any given person may need to disappear for a period of time. So it's not enough to have a one shomer, you have to have two shomer, you have to have shlosha anashim isha achas. We had seen the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, quote from the Ravid, the same is true, balayla as well. That's for our style of living, and not that often in the wilderness, most of us, but balayla, that happens every single night. But balayla also, it's late enough that people might be falling asleep, or when people are going to sleep, so it's not enough to have a single shomer, you have to have two shomer. That was Rabbi Shechter's Nusach we spoke about last semester. A sleeping shomer is half a shomer. So that's really the opening chunk, the opening sugya. It is discussed about halachas of relatives as well. That's really the opening sugya. Keith, question. So Akiva raises the following question. We so far have very few tools in our toolkit. I want to solve a Yichud problem. I think I had mentioned when we first got started, Rav Shechter's Nusach, that the study of Hilchos Yichud is the study of Kulos. And you open with an Isser, and then you have to figure out what are the factors you could bring into play to diffuse the situation in Matzah Isser Yichud. So far I've only seen a few. Our toolkit is a little bit thin. We know that adding an additional man or two to the situation can help. We know that if I'm close to the lady, to the woman who I'm being zaching, that may be fine as well. Maybe if it was one's mother and son, or father and daughter, grandparents, grandchildren, discussion about siblings. That's not yet a full toolbox. That will help sometimes. That's why we're about to surge forward. The Gemara is going to present a series of other kulos. But before we go into more kulos, I want to take a look at what the two gemaras that we're up to. Before we get to additional kulos, and the other dinim that sort of lay the groundwork for understanding Hilchos Yichud, I believe this is where we're up to. Here on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. On Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, right after the story of Ravur of Yehuda we had seen last time about Badera and Ksherim, the Gemara picks up around 10 minutes from the top of Pe'af. Now the last word of the line is Amar, right after the little hay with the parentheses. Amar. Amar Rav, two short pieces of Gemara that will lay the conceptual framework for thinking about the Yehuda. The first one is Amar Rav, Malka HaYichud Ein Osr HaYichud. Rav says that up until now we've said Yichud is Asr. Up until now we've been speaking L'chatchila, literally L'chatchila, before the fact. May I be alone with this person? Yes, now we have to assess the situation. Rav says, let's talk for a moment about B'di'evet. B'dieved doesn't mean when you're stuck. B'shas hadchak means when you're stuck. B'dieved means when it's already happened. B'di'avad, v'sheh asa. Post facto, there was a violation of yichud. Now what? So Rav says, there's one consequence that you do have, and then another consequence that you do not have. Amar Rav, malkus yichud. He was given malkus as a punishment for those who have violated yichud. The ein osur al yichud. Who he would not create an Easter. What each of those mean? Now when Rashi says Malkus Ha'yichud, he says Malkus Margus. Malkus Margus, something we can agree with, is Malkus Drabana. There's no Malkus Dolaisa here. Why? They say, according to Rabbana, Yichud might not be this guy. He says, according to the vast majority of some Yichud, is Dolaisa, but it's not Allah. Allah is an Easter with the Torah explicitly says, do not do this. Lo ta'aseh. Oh, hey. Only if it's phrased in the psukim as a dot, as a law, as a lotasa, is there malchus d'oraisa. Simple example. A Jew eats a full meal and doesn't bench. So that is a violation of the din d'oraisa. It's forbidden in that moment to do that. You are obligated to bench after you eat. If you have a halt of the sabato, they're up. But there's a Jew who refuses to bench at Malkus? No. Why not? We violated the rights. Yeah, we violated the mitzvahs. We didn't violate Lotus. The Torah doesn't say you may not eat without benching after you. The Torah says, when you eat, you must bench. It's a mitzvah hase. Mitzvah hase is very important, but doesn't get the onus of Malkus min haTorah. Based on the way the Gemara darshens from the Psukim in Parshas Kisetze. The Torah presents in Kisetze. The onus of Malkus, it gives an example attached to the end of the paragraph, the end of the parsha. That example is a lo tasa. So there's definitely no, even if yichud is daraisa, the onesh is not an onesh daraisa, but it's makas mardus. Makas mardus is an onesh drabanan, sometimes given for isurim drabanan, and sometimes prescribed by chazal for isurim daraisa, that don't have another onesh. So Rav says, you violate yichud, you didn't have error. You didn't have air, we'll give you malchus. There ain't no osur al yichud. What does that mean? We won't make an isser. Rashi says, ain't osrin, eshes ish al baila machmas yichud. We will not forbid a married couple to remain together because of yichud. What does that mean? So let's back up for a moment. The Torah tells us in Parshas Nasa, you have this, the Parsha of Sota. And the Torah there, zeroes in on a particular type of sukkah. No? The foundational idea there is as follows. The foundational idea is not only does the Torah tell us in this week's parsha in Parshas Yisrael, lo tinach, that adultery is forbidden, but the Torah indicates later on that adultery also has ramifications. Obviously it has severe spiritual ramifications. Obviously it has severe emotional ramifications. There are also technical halachic ramifications. If a married woman is intimate with someone other than her husband, that itself is a severe chet, gilui arayos, tahor val yavar, it's a chiyuv misa, and in addition to that, chiyuv misa, based in Kenneth, I give the chiyuv misa, let's say I have Eidun HaAsura and so forth, the Zman HaZeh we don't give a chiyuv misa, but there are other ramifications. Eishas isha zinsa, if we know that this man and woman were adulterously intimate, this woman had deal with someone other than her husband, so she and her husband are no longer permitted to remain married together, nor can she marry the boyfriend. She's asur labal, asur labo. So that in a situation where we verify that indeed adultery occurred, so that's it. Asrulabal, that's the end of the story. Obviously, emotionally speaking, from the beginning of the story. But halachically, if we know for sure, a sota vada. So, asrulabal. The Torah, the parsha of sota in Naso, is a case of sotas safek. Not that we don't have proof positive. We don't have direct testimony that an act of adultery occurred, but the Torah says, let's say the husband had told his wife, I think something's going on between you and Ploni. You should not be alone with Ploni. That's called kinoi. It was a witness warning. And then, subsequent to that conversation, not a pleasant one, obviously, subsequent, and that's an understatement, subsequent to that conversation, the kinui, subsequently, there was stage two is stira. She was then alone, venistera, she was indeed alone with second man. So the Torah tells us, and the opening Mishnah and Soter lays it out, based on the Pesuk and Parshas Naso, you had both stages, kinui and then stira, the husband told his wife, bifnei edim, al tistri mishponi, don't be alone with Reuven, and then she goes ahead and she is alone with Reuven. The combination of kinui and stira, the Chumash tells us, it doesn't tell us for sure that an act of nus occurred, but there's reason to be concerned. Raglayim l'davar. There's enough likelihood that it's a serious suffix, and the Torah says she's going to be a sota misafik unless we can solve this situation. Unless we can get verification that if she was alone, she might have been with nothing more than that. There's no accusations. How do we know? Because this is not promised at the one time that the Torah promises an ace. It's the one time where an ace is actually part of the halachic system. The Torah says that if you have a woman who's a sota misafik, again, no even directly on Zeus, and Kinoi and Sira, so she's a sota misafik. The Torah describes husband and wife travel to the Zamikdash, and the Torah has a mitzvah to make a concoction, and then the spring water and some of the soil of the Zamikdash, and you erase a cloth that has some of the tukul of sota written on it, the whole procedure. And she undergoes the whole procedure, including climaxing with drinking the Nesota, drinking that liquid. The Torah says, if indeed she was Mazana, some grotesque things will occur, and she and the boyfriend will both pass away in a very gruesome way. And that's the Nesota will occur if indeed she was Mazana. If she goes through the whole process of Nesota and nothing happens, then That's an indication that she violated Yichud, that wasn't right, but she was not Mazana, and she permitted she and her husband to resume normal married life. That's the Parsha in Parshas Naso. So again, we have Sota Vadai, otherwise known as Esha Zisha Zinsa, and there it's, if we have direct verification from Edim, Shazinsa, so then there's no Safek, there's no Mei Sota, it's Asur Labal, Asur Labal. If it's a Safek, whether Zinsa, we don't know that Zinsa, but we have the evidence, the indication of Kinui plus Sira. So then she's a Suffolk Sota, and the only way to resolve that Suffolk would be a negative test. And now they've been thinking a lot about negative tests. This is the original negative test. She drinks the Mesota, nothing happens. Ah, that's an indication that she did not violate Zinsa, she did not violate Niyuf, and she and her husband are permitted to resume normal married life. By the way, Hilcha Sota Safek do appear in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Eben Ha'ezer. Unfortunately, Niyuf does occur, and a husband could be Mekaneh his wife, and she could have some subsequent Sira, Bizman Hazeh as well. Except, obviously, we don't have access to Mei Sota, because we don't have Mei Samikash. So Bizman Hazeh is in Shulchan Aruch. In the case of a Sota Safek, she remains. So she's a Surah Misafik, and there's no way to resolve it because we don't have any Sota. With that in mind, Sota Vada and Sota Safik, we'll take a question in a moment, but with that in mind, you come back to our Gemara. Our Gemara says, Malkan al Yichud, if a couple violates Yichud, there's Malkus, but ain't Osun al Yichud. She won't become a Surah to her husband, a married woman who violated Yichud, someone else. Is not a surah to her husband. That's interesting. How come? He just said there's a din of sota safek. He was saying, no, Yichud does not create sota safek. Why not say she's a surah to her husband? So the answer is, as we said before, the first mission of sota highlights from the Pesukim in Naso, sota safek is generated by a combination of two events. The second one is stira, which is more or less yichud. But the first one is kinui. So if you have a yichud that was preceded by that sort of difficult conversation between husband and wife, and it was witnessed, a witness conversation. Bifnei, the husband says to his wife, I think I'm worried that something's going on between you and Ploni. I'll test you in this Ploni. If she had yichud after that sort of conversation, then the combination of the two elements creates enough of a suffix that she's a sura labayla mi suffix, unless you can resolve that with a negative mesota test. If the Gemara is saying if it's only yichud, there was no kinoi, she didn't violate yichud, there's no preceding kinoi, then she's not a sura to her husband. Now that's interesting, that's important. Let's think about that for a moment, and this is actually conceptually very important. But what does that mean? As I understand, the Psukim, the Mishnayos and so on, they only say that she's a Surah Labayla Misafik, if you had Kino and Tzir. But isn't the whole point of this, and you took a word that made me lead to Zos? That you tell me, why are they using it, but we're not writing about the Zos. Isn't the whole point of this? Why is it not so good? What? You're saying? A Siyam Dharmah. Hey, I'm a Hebrew Dharmah. Why? Because there's a chance that there's a possibility that Yichud could lead to Zos. And I think that's what you're saying about this young. Then let's say a 5% chance, a 10% chance, a 3% chance, not sure what the number is, okay? But there's a chance, there's a small chance that Yichud will lead to Zos. Enough of a chance that you say, you better not violate Yichud, because if you do, there's a chance they'll lead it to something even worse. So that's why the Tzila, are you allowed to do it? No. Now our Gemara is asking, you already did it. Was it wrong to violate Yichud? Yes. Raya Ladavar, we give you Malchus. That was not Avera. The Yichud itself was an Avera, and let's stress, the Yichud itself wasn't Avera, even if nothing more untoward happened. We say, it was just even, we just sat there and talked, we didn't touch each other, nothing else happened, we were just sitting and talking. Okay, but that stuff was not there. You violate Yichud. That's a punishable offense. It's a punishable offense. Malkin al Yichud. However, ain't Osir al Yichud. Why not? Why not? Because it's not even a suffix. Wait a minute, of course it's a suffix. The answer is yes, but it's a small suffix. In other words, in a case of Kinoi and Sphira, so then already, we'll say, let's give numbers, then it's already a 50% chance. The husband had this difficult conversation with his wife, he had enough suspicion. Now good, maybe the husband is paranoid. Maybe not, we're not sure. But the husband, there was enough, the husband was suspicious enough to have the conversation with his wife in front of Aiden, and then she subsequently went ahead and had Yichud anyways. So we're not convinced that the Yichud was more than just Yichud. But there already, it's a 30, 40, 50, 60% chance that Sira involves this as well. At that point, that's already even La'achar Hamasa, enough of the suffix that she's a Sira Labayla Misafik. A normal case of Yichud is a 2, 3, 4, 5% chance. So it's forbidden to violate Yichud. If you do, you did not have a Yichud, but it's not enough, but the chances are nothing happening. Which is why, that's also important. In other words, Yichud is also not because of a probability of Znus. Yichud is also because of a possibility of Znus. That's a very important point. Because many times people say, like, well, what's wrong? Yeah, nothing's going to happen. What's the big deal? Oh, I had Yichud yesterday. Nothing was happening. Yeah. No one thinks that Yichud is Usr because... We're not saying probably, we're not saying, every case of Yichud leads to Znus. We're even saying most cases of Yichud leads to Znus. All we're saying is a small percentage, not negligibly small, but a small percentage, not sure what the number is, 3%, 5%, 2%, 7%, a small, but not negligible percentage of cases of Yichud do end up leading to Znus. That's why, as you said, to Siag, Siag Daraisa, Siag Rabbanon, Yichud also because of a possibility of Chet, not necessarily a probability of that. And the Gemara gets involved in some of the details. But I want to, we have a couple of minutes left, I want to see the next brief piece of Gemara as well. This also lays out more framework for thinking about Yichud. Amar Rav, Malkin al lo tova hashemua. Rav said, we give Malkus, he said before we give Malkus by any Yichud, we even give Malkus for lo tova hashemua. And now they would say it's not a good look. But that's literally lo tova hashemua is that the rumors aren't pretty. The shmua people are hearing is not good. Where does that come from? Such an interesting phrase. It comes from those who have learned the Sefer Shmuel recently, you don't have to get so deeply in. It comes from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Al Banai, he lo tova hashmua. Who said that to whom? Mi amar li? Anyone? This is a little bekias in Tanakh. Who said, no, my son, the rumors about you aren't free. Anyway, he said it's not properly written. But we're being inappropriate. Chazal discussed how inappropriate exactly would they be. And clearly they would be inappropriate with Jews in general, with Jewish women in particular. And he says, you're behaving in a way that says, I haven't seen exactly what you're doing, but you definitely behave in a way that's generating bad rumors. That's the problem. Lo tova hashemua. The Gemara says, because Eli praises it as a law, that's something which we would give Malkus. This captures a critical concept in terms of Yichud, which else in other Masechtos, this idea is referred to as Davar Mechur, Mem Chaf, Vav, Ayin, Resh. And something is sketchy, something is not right. And that's very important. What the Gemara is saying is, we're in the midst of learning the halachas of Yichud, and trying to figure out, do I have a heter for the situation or not? What the Gemara is pointing out is, when you're trying to assess a situation, there are two questions you have to ask in order for it to be mutter. The first question is it technically a violation of Hilchas Yichud? If it is a violation of Hilchas Yichud, you've got to step away or figure out some way to change the situation. If it's not technically a violation of Hilchas Yichud, because you have a shomer, we're going to get to it next time, Baal Be'ir, Pesach Pazul, there are a host of heterim. But then the second question is, even if it's technically mutter, is it an appropriate situation or is it davar mechur, lo tova hashemua? It has to pass the sniff test also. It has to smell, the situation has to smell right. If technically it's mutter, but it's something sketchy, it's sticky, it doesn't smell right, then that's a halachic consideration as well. Lo malkin al lo tova hashemua. Yeah? Akasha. How come a suffix sota is a greater punishment than a vada sota? I mean, why suffix sota is something that can lead to death? Vada sota can also lead to death. There's an agent of our source, it's time to lead to death. Rubberfall. Fantastic. Okay. So let's see just for the next 2 minutes, coming attraction. Let's take a peek at the Gemara. We'll get a sense of where we're heading in terms of practical impact and halachic richness. The Gemara, the next couple lines of the Gemara lay out two very, very significant heterim from two peers, Rabba and Rav Yosef. Amar Rabba. Rabba tells us the Bible be in Koshim Shem Yichud. There's no concern of Yichud with a married woman if her husband is in town. And then Rav Yosef says, Rabba's peer, Amar Rav Yosef, Pesach Pasuach Lushus HaRabin, Ein Choshim Shem Yichud. You're in a situation where you're alone with someone else, but there's the door that's open to Lushus HaRabin, that too is not a Yichud problem. Now each of these comes up plenty. Each of these is going to require a lot of definition. For instance, Baal Be'ir, well, what's considered Ba'ir? Like, I'm in Manhattan and she's in Queens? You mean I'm in one part of suburbia, she's in another part of suburbia? And why is it mutter? How does that work? And does it matter what the situation is? Does it matter where he is? Does it matter where she is? Does it matter that he knows where she is? And how about Pesach Pasuach Lushus HaRabin? Just to get this for stars, what does Pasuach mean? You mean the door is unlocked? You mean the door is wide open? And why would either of those matter? And finally, the Gemara is going to tell a story of Rav Yosef that adds this limitation to Baal Be'ir. And maybe it matters whether the people in question are very comfortable with each other or not. We'll have to define that, we'll have to figure out why they matter. Baal Be'ir is Mutter, and it's Mutter. And you see, there are rich machloks amongst the Rishon Nachron about both of these, about Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuach. These are two of the most useful dinim and hilchos Yichud that come up to Seder, and we will be digging into this in Mirtz Hashem next week.